Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hey guys, it's Mark Striegel. Before we get started, I just wanted to run down all our guests. We got Steve Hoker. We have the band Kiss Nation. We have legendary drummer Vinny Appice of Dio and Black Sabbath and Heaven and Hell and oh, so many more. This guy is just a legend, and it's always great to have Vinny on the podcast. I'm glad he is back for this episode. We have Frank White, who is a photographer who has captured so much great history with the lenses of his camera through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, all the way through the 2000s. Man, this guy is the real deal. He has a brand new book out he's going to tell us about. And last but not least, Robert Fleischman, in one of his first interviews since backing out or since announcing he's not going to be participating in Vinnie Vincent's big comeback to the stage, his first, you know, not including the little thing he did by Four by Fate, Vinnie is going to be doing his first full concert as Vinnie Vincent soon. So Robert Fleischman has announced that he, after previously it was announced that he would be a part of it, he's now announced that he won't be a part of it. And we talk a little bit about that during the interview. And all this great stuff comes from the New Jersey Kiss Expo. All the interviews were recorded live there. So let's do it here on Talking Metal.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and we are so excited because we're here in Parsippany, New Jersey, at the New Jersey Kiss Expo. It is Friday night and it is already a party. Emily and I are hanging out. We just saw Kiss Nation play the first of many sets they're going to do here at the Kiss Expo. Ace Frehley is here. We just walked by Punky Meadows of Angel fame. Frank White, the photographer, Jean Bouvois. Who else?
I just said hi to Robert Fleischman, of course, from Vinnie Vincent Invasion and Journey. So it was good catching up with him.
Yeah, Bobby Rock was sitting right next to him, so it is an amazing event. Lita Ford, and most importantly, who are we talking with right now?
We're sitting with our favorite listener, probably of all time, I would say, Steve Hoker. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Finally meeting you. And did you? So you said you were in Pennsylvania today, and I feel so honored that you came all the way out here to see us tonight.
You guys are worth it.
Thank you so much.
Cool. Steve, so you've been a longtime listener of the podcast. What is the first episode you remember listening to of Talking Metal?
It's probably a Zakk Wylde one and somewhere in the double digits.
In the double digits. Okay. Yeah. So really, wow. Double digits. So I'm thinking that was before the TV show then probably?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. Zakk, one of the earlier guests on the podcast, he's been on probably what you probably know more than that, like 8 times at this point. I'd say 7 or 8 times.
Shape or form.
Yeah, so wow, so that's a long time listener.
right here with us, Steve. And Steve, you live in the area. You're, what, 20 minutes from here?
Yeah, in Sukasana. It's about 20 minutes away from here.
Awesome. And what concerts do you have coming up?
I got Ozzy in June, right?
Awesome. We will be there. June, Madison Square Garden.
And that's it for right this second.
Right. Cool. Very cool. And favorite bands? Maybe three or four of them?
Twisted Sister, Overkill, Black Label Society, and Ozzy, of course.
Right. And Twisted Sister, by the way, Eddie Ojeda and J.J. French here at the convention, the KISS Expo, where we are coming to you, not live, because podcasts aren't live, but we are here.
I love that you said Overkill. Do you know, like, Bobby Blitz is one of my favorite people in the world, besides my husband and my children. No, I'm just kidding. I love Bobby. Have you ever met Bobby?
I haven't.
Oh, we got to introduce you. So next time there's an Overkill show, we're meeting and you're going to meet Bobby because he's just so down to earth and cool. Like, I always think that he's just so, he's the real deal. Like, I don't know how else to explain Bobby Blitz except saying that he's, there's nothing fake about that guy. He's authentic, and that's what I love about him. And, like, when people talk about thrash bands, I always say Overkill is one of my favorite thrash bands because of his authenticity. And he's got good dance moves, too. Mark knows about the dance moves.
Absolutely, the thrust, yeah. And Steve, thank you, too, for your monthly support on Patreon. You are here at the KISS Expo wearing your Talking Metal t-shirt. What a trooper you are, and again, thank you so much. What can we play for you now on the podcast? Is there a song we could play for you?
How about Instruments of Destruction by Energy?
Wow, okay, I don't know that one. This is a deep cut. Tell me about Energy.
It is... I only know that song by him. It was on the Transformers, the movie soundtrack.
Nice.
And it's an awesome song. I think everybody's going to like it.
Cool. And Transformers, when was that? Like 10 years ago? Like
probably 20 or 30 years.
Well, that. Oh, okay. So we're going way
back.
I'm
old,
right. Right. But there was a newer... What's the one with Megan Fox? What was that?
Those are the Michael Bay ones that suck.
Okay, those were the newer ones, yeah.
Yes.
She was in the first one, right?
We're talking about the original cartoon one.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we're going way back. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Steve, will you give us an intro for the song?
Okay. Here's Instruments of Destruction by the band Energy.
Birds of fortune, I'll drift above the sky. Cloudy revelations, unseen by naked eyes. And flying tools of torment will penetrate the sphere. Really counts. Brave eternal darkness when you are drained of every ounce. And when the nightmare's over, we'll be right back.
little energy here on Talking Metal. And again, we are hanging at the Kiss Expo. Steve Hoker in the house, Lita Ford in the house, JJ French, Eddie Ojeda, Ian McCurdy is here. Wow, what a party, Emily. We're having so much fun.
We are having a blast. The party's just begun, but this is a highlight for me, honestly. We really love you, Steve, and we're grateful for your support, and it's cool hanging out with you, and we'll see you at Ozzy at Madison Square Garden in June.
I'll be cool. There.
So right now, we're going to check in with an interview Emily did here at the Expo. This is Emily with the guys in Kiss Nation.
We do. We look hotter than hell.
Ba-dum-bum-psh.
Hello.
Hi.
Talking Metal here. We're feeling hotter than hell in this hotel room right now. It is hotter than hell in here, isn't it?
It's more like stuffy as hell.
Stuffy as hell.
It's stuffy as hell.
I'm having a blast here at the Kiss Expo in Parsippany, New Jersey tonight with Kiss Nation, Billy May, and Ruby. How are you doing?
Great. It's an honor to be here. We try to come out and do these expos anytime that the New Jersey Expo comes around. We've been the house band now for years. This is the biggest one. We've got Ace Frehley. We've got Lita Ford. And what was great for us is we get to come in, do a full show on the Friday night, which was our standard set. Tomorrow we do Unmasked and Unplugged. And then we're honored to share the stage with Ace Frehley. And we're going to dig out some deep cuts and some classics for all the hardcore Kiss fans this weekend.
And this is home for us. You know, this is home. Jersey Expo. And we've been part of the Jersey Expo for several years. And we love doing this show. It's amazing. We love the fans. We love the local New York Jersey Kiss fans. And it's just no other place like doing this expo. We love it. We're thrilled and honored to be here.
The beauty of it was tonight seeing all the fans that know who you guys are and have seen you, but I love watching the newbies, like the people that have never seen you before and their reactions to, because you guys are hands down.
What are their reactions?
The world premiere, the world, the best in the world, the best Kiss,
the
you know,
hottest Kiss tribute band in the world,
hottest and the most talented.
I feel like we I would owe say you a both. Check now.
No, but I mean this from the bottom of my heart. My Talking Metal listeners know I don't say something if I don't believe it. And I'm one of those people that likes to look around the audience and see reactions. And the reactions I saw tonight were just staggering. Everyone was blown away by you guys. You killed it.
Well, thank you.
I think it's you know, part of the reason you get up there is just to look out and see the people that appreciate a lot of the same things that you do. And if you can get up there and share that with them, it makes the show more worthwhile. But for me tonight, the particular thing that I was looking at was Lita Ford in the back.
Oh my God. I know. Could I tell you, I've never seen Mark blush so hard. And he has interviewed her numerous times, but he made a beeline for Lita tonight, and I took about 75 pictures. So you guys will see them all on Talking Metal soon.
I want a picture with Lita.
Everyone wants a picture with Lita, as they should want a picture of Lita.
We love you, Lita.
We really do. So tell me how you guys got involved with the Expo, because it's your first time playing the Expo. Is that correct?
No, yeah. we've played them the last several years.
Different locations.
Yeah.
Different locations.
Peter Arquette's been running the Expo in this area for the last few years, and we did them each year. And you know, Peter's a great guy, and this year they really wanted to go all out, and Keith LaRue and Phil Dealey got involved. And, you know, we've had a long relationship with all those guys, so it just seemed logical and it just seemed natural that when this was going to come together, we would be part of it. And for us, we wanted to be part of it in as many ways, in any ways that we could, which gave us the opportunity to do multiple nights and multiple shows and stuff like that. So that's why we're here.
And awesome. Like we said before, this is the biggest one. I mean, obviously, look at me. Ace Frehley is here. There's no way that I don't want to do this show. I mean, come on.
Ace is in the house, y'all. And Ace is doing...
That's not me. Ace. Real it. Not me. I'm not really Ace.
Ace Frehley. Yeah, you could have fooled me tonight, though.
Oh, thank
Shock
you.
Me was killing. You were killing.
Thank you so
them.
Much.
It
thank
was
you.
Awesome.
Much too kind. Much too kind.
So
we can do a talking metal, like after hours show, where Mark and I sit down and tell Ace stories from 25 years ago that we've experienced.
You absolutely could, and we probably should do this, but you know what I would like to hear?
We'd edit
I would
all
like
of
to
that out.
Yeah.
So the interview would be 15 seconds long.
Exactly. You would have to edit it all out. What's your first memory of Mark Striegel? Let's talk a little talking metal like history here. You've known Mark for a long time. What are some of your early memories of my husband?
I've known Mark for about 25 years, and we had a mutual friend that he played in a band with. I remember Mark was in a band called Roy's Baby, and Mark was much cooler than me, because it was sometime in the early 90s, and Mark was really just trying to get ahead of the curve and kind of play like what was hot, what was happening.
He's always ahead of the curve, right?
Yeah, he was right there, and I didn't get it. I'd go, oh, what are they doing? Drop D tuning and this and that. I wanted to play, you know, Toys in the Attic and Exile on Main Street. And this guy was, you know, a couple of steps ahead. And I was scratching my head. And I ended up painting my face like Kiss for the next 30 years. And he's got a show. So
it's worked out for
worked
you.
Worked out for both of us. Yeah, yeah.
I think you both ended up where you're supposed to be. Absolutely. And tell me about your relationship with Kiss. Because you're one of the few tribute bands that Kiss acknowledges. I've seen pictures of you.
It's very private.
I'm going to hear.
It's very private. That's very private.
Look, Kiss have always been kind to, I think, all of us.
We're very lucky.
Yeah.
Very
and,
fortunate.
I wouldn't say that they acknowledge us as if we're a special tribute band or anything like that, but some of us have been fans for a long time, and it's been easy for us to be recognized by them, and I think each one of the guys has always been gentleman and charming to us in any way that they could, so I don't have anything bad to say about any of the members in that band, and it's kind of them to be able to allow us to get out and play their songs and use their makeup and stuff like that, so
and
you know, they're all great guys.
Any and every experience we've had with the band has been nothing but positive, and very fortunate in that case. I mean, yeah.
That's amazing. That's so cool to hear. I love hearing that, because I know that they can see what you guys are doing, and you guys just, you do them justice, and I've seen some tribute bands that don't, and you guys do, and that's what, like, warms my heart about you guys.
Who? I'm sorry. No.
I think Mark came home one day, and I was sitting in the living room playing Monopoly with Ace. You were there that night,
oh,
right?
God.
Yeah, it's a true story. Yeah, Mark comes home,
oh,
walks
God.
Into the living room,
no, tell the story about
looks
where he,
up.
Tell the story about where
no,
he was living. Like,
no, no.
Oh, I know this story.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I know.
we're gonna edit that.
This is the edited story.
But this was specifically to make Mark laugh. I remember Mark walking in, and it must have been a surreal sight to look, and there's Ace Frehley in the living room, and me, and a couple of other people, and playing Monopoly.
Playing Monopoly.
Monopoly. Yeah.
Do you know what piece
yeah,
Ace
used? Yeah,
what
piece used? Was Ace? Was he the shoe?
Was he the shoe? Tell me it was the shoe.
You know, I really can't remember. There Come was a, also a lot of champagne.
Just lie to me. Just lie to me and tell me it was the shoe.
Hold on. Why is the shoe really the only piece I remember?
Well, the dog. There was a Scotty dog.
He was the car, but he drove it the wrong way.
Oh, that's even...
No, we're talking about the game, right?
Do not go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect.
If you say Ace drove it the wrong way, we're talking about the game.
Okay. Clear this whole tape with John before you...
I love this. I love John, having you guys here. I love having you guys here, man.
Edit that out.
I'm not editing anything. This was the coolest interview ever. I'm so excited. Where can I see you guys next?
Like, tomorrow.
Are you, do you guys
tomorrow.
Have a
we tomorrow?
Do well, yeah. Unplugged right Sunday. Here.
Without this.
Yeah. This isn't going to be edited by tomorrow, because we're all going down to the bar after
Sunday.
This.
Well, they can
so,
see
Sunday.
Us. Yeah. They can see us on YouTube from the clips that you guys post.
Yes, they will.
Right now, we're we do this nationally, so wherever it comes up, where there's a good gig to go out and do it, we'll head out to it. Awesome. But the holidays are coming up, and vacations, yeah. And winter, so we've kind of slowed down. So this weekend kind of ends out some of the shows, and then we'll be back probably, I would guess, around March or April.
Everyone, check it out on YouTube, on Talking Metal. We're going to have some clips up. Everything will be posted. And here tonight with Kiss Nation. So excited to see you guys. You guys killed it. And thank you for coming on Talking
Thanks for
Metal.
Having us. Thank you.
All right. Big thanks to Bill and Ruby from Kiss Nation for joining us here on Talking Metal. Emily conducting that interview. And we're going to post a video version of that on our YouTube page real soon, youtube.com/talkingmetal. So stay tuned for that. Please visit the sites talkingrock.net. TalkingMetal.com. Follow me on Twitter at TalkingMetal or at Striegel. I'm on Instagram, TalkingMetal. I guess it's at TalkingMetal on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. Find me there. And I love corresponding with you guys. Support us on Patreon. We appreciate that. Buy a t-shirt. Talking Metal t-shirts, only $20. Hit my PayPal up. My PayPal is my email. StriegelMark@gmail.com. That's STRIGLMARK. Just $20, and then let me know your shirt size and your dress, and we'll get that right out to you. And I appreciate all the t-shirts you guys have bought so far, and trying to move a few more. So please support Talking Metal with buying a t-shirt like Mr. Steve Hoker was wearing at this event, Kiss Expo, New Jersey. Yeah, what a great time. Big thanks to everyone who hooked us up out there and let us have access to all these great stars. Got to chat with Lita Ford. Of course, it wasn't recorded. It was just us hanging out. I'll post some pictures of her and myself in the show notes. She was there. Bobby Rock, Ace Frehley, so many great, great people at the New Jersey Kiss Expo. What an event. What a fun time. Right now, let's get into an interview with Vinnie Appice, and a little classic Vinnie right here, a little classic Black Sabbath to get us into the interview.
Mark Striegel, and we are here at the New Jersey Kiss Expo reporting for Talking Metal with one of heavy metal's premier drummers, legendary Dio, Black Sabbath, the list goes on and on. Lennon, you played with John Lennon, right?
John Lennon, yeah. Played with him when I was a little baby, 16, 17 years old.
Vinny Appice, and your history is amazing, but let's talk about what's going on right now. You put out a really cool record less than a year ago with your brother, right?
Yeah, it was called Sinister, and it was the first record we ever did together in both our careers, like a full-on album.
Right.
And it came out about a year ago, a little over a year, and it did okay, you know, got great reviews and stuff, and we hope to do another one, too.
And you guys are simultaneously playing two different drum kits on most of the record, right?
Well, certain songs, there's just me playing. Couple songs is just him playing. Other songs we're both playing at the same time. I'm on the left, he's on the right. Then there's songs where I play a verse, he plays a chorus. There's all different mixes. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
but I'm always on the left, so listen to the left side.
And real quick, I know you got to get back to your table here at the Kiss Expo, but Last in Line, I saw you guys in T-Neck a number of years back, amazing, M3 last year. What is the latest? A new record's on the way, Jeff Pilson working with you guys again?
We produced it with Jeff. It's produced by Jeff and the band, and it's coming out February 22nd.
Awesome.
And there's a video out now on YouTube called Landslide, just one teaser video for the first song, and then the rest comes out. Then we go out in the first 5 months of the year. We'll be all over the place. We'll be in the East Coast in May, looks
cool.
like.
Cool. And musically, how would you compare it to the first record?
It's similar. Maybe it's a little bit more, I hate the word polished, but the songs are really a little more involved. They go different places, and the playing's great.
Right.
You know, and we got to have a different bass player on this one, Phil.
Was he involved in the songwriting too?
Oh yeah, yeah. We go in the room, and it was just like when we wrote Holy Diver and we wrote the first Last in Line album. We just went in a room and jammed and came up with riffs and put them together and tried different crazy things, and that's the way it made a great album, you know? Everybody was open for ideas. Vivian's great to work with. You just got an idea. I even tell him, why don't you do something like this? And he goes, okay. He'll tell me something. We're all open, and it's a great chemistry, you know.
Before Last in Line, you and Vivian hadn't worked together for quite some time. Were you in contact? Did you remain friendly during that time period?
Well, he was always working with Leopard, and I was doing different things. And then we once in a while saw each other. And then he played in L.A. somewhere one time at a blues thing he was playing. This little blues man, and I went down to see him, say hi and stuff. So we kind of kept in touch, not a lot,
right?
You know. And now that we're doing this, you know, we're really great friends again. And I love Viv; he's such a sweetheart, and you know, I really like him in my life right now.
Right.
You know, so it's perfect. And playing with him is amazing. He's what a monster guitar player, and he plugs right into the amp.
No effects.
Wow. Maybe a wah wah.
Yeah.
And he gets this fat. Big ass sound, you know, amazing.
Have you heard from Iommi or Geezer in recent time?
I heard from both Tony and Geezer via email a couple months ago. You know, Tony, I keep in touch with a lot more and see how he's doing, you know, and Geezer here and there too. So, you know, they're part of your life, you know,
yeah.
These guys. And so, now I don't know what they're going to do. They seem to be retired.
Yeah.
I'm the only Sabbath man going to be left here. When Ozzy's retiring, they're retired. Rest in peace, Ronnie.
What a perfect place to end it.
Going. Keep the music.
And thank you for giving us so much great music through the years. We can't wait for the new Last in Line record and the tour. So thank you.
Last in Line 2.
Oh. Appropriate.
As opposed to thinking is crazy names.
Right. All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.
Little Drum Wars by Vinny Appice and Carmine Appice. The brothers with the same last name and different pronunciations. Yeah, that's off the Sinister record, Drum Wars. Pick that up on iTunes. Go download that. Great stuff. Big thanks to Vinny for talking to us and, yeah, and giving us so much great music. You can, you know, the Black Sabbath stuff, the Heaven and Hell stuff. It is all fantastic. And, you know, I love listening to it on YouTube Music myself. It is such an amazing place. We've all found ourselves down a rabbit hole on YouTube. There's so much music to discover there. You can only spend so many hours exploring new songs and artists. And you know what? Now there's an app that's going to make it all so much easier. YouTube Music makes it so easy to find the music you're looking for. Official albums, singles, music videos, live performances, even covers and remixes. And I love this. If you don't know the name of the song, but you know the lyrics, this is me all the time. Like, I know I have the tune and the lyrics in my head, but I just don't know the name of the song. Well, thank God that YouTube Music has now made it easy. You can simply search a song by the lyrics. I love that. And it'll bring you right to that song. The YouTube Music app gives you recommendations based on taste, location, and time of day. So I guess if you're at the Kiss Expo, it's going to be giving you Kiss songs to listen to, I would hope. Maybe some Lita Ford, maybe some Vinny Appice, since they were also at the Kiss Expo in New Jersey. And with YouTube Music Premium, it's even better. Get ad-free music that plays with the screen off or while using other apps. Enjoy your music whenever you want it, even if you're offline. Download the new YouTube Music app today and start a free 30-day trial. Then enjoy the music for just $9.99 per month. Terms and restrictions apply. YouTube Music, it's all here. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. You gotta love our sponsors here on Talking Metal. I know I do. Like wizardpins.com. Wizardpins.com is the easiest way to create custom pins with your logo or design. Once you upload your design, Wizard Pins will send you a free virtual mock-up of your pin. They can work with any design, from hand-drawn sketches to professional design files. They will provide unlimited art revisions until you are completely satisfied. WizardPins.com is the easiest way to create custom pins with your logo or design. Yeah, I mean, like, actual pins, actual cool stuff, custom label pins, much more. Check it out, wizardpins.com. I love what these guys do. And, you know, what you do is you upload your design, and then Wizard Pins will send you a free virtual mock-up of your pin. They can work with any design, from hand-drawn sketches to professional design logos and files, and they provide unlimited art revisions until you're completely satisfied. Wizard Pins can create pins of any size or shape for any occasion, and their excellent customer service team will help you select the style that's best for you. You got to check these guys out, wizardpins.com. All the pricing is listed clearly on their site. No waiting for a quote, no hassle, and no hidden fees. Wizard Pins offers free shipping and the fastest turnaround in the industry. Wizard Pins is perfect for small or large businesses, nonprofits, armed forces, professional organizations, and more. They also make custom keychains, coins, race medals, you name it, they got it. Just check it out, wizardpins.com. And I am probably going to do some Talking Metal stuff with Wizard Pins because I love this service they provide. It's totally awesome. And we're going to check out what the Talking Metal design would look like on Wizard Pins and get back to you guys on that real soon. But in the meantime, head to wizardpins.com and enter code METAL, M-E-T-A-L, to get 20% off your first order. That's code METAL for 20% off your first order at wizardpins.com. All righty. So we are into our next interview with Frank White, one of the greatest rock photographers around. What a history this guy has. What a history he has with Ronnie James Dio. That's what we're talking about right now. His new book chronicling Ronnie's career from 1975 to 2009, right up until his last concert. That's right, his last concert. Frank White was there. And he was also at one of his first really important concerts in the United States way back in the 70s. Let's hear all about it from Frank White, the awesome photographer that we really admire this guy's work. Here we go.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel, and we are continuing our coverage from the Great New Jersey Kiss Expo. We just heard from Vinny Appice, who had a legendary career and still has one with Ronnie James Dio and Black Sabbath, among many and many others. And we're now, speaking of Dio, we're now here with Frank White, a photographer who has been in the business a long time. And
I've been in the business for 43 years now.
All right, 43 yeah. years. Yeah. And this great new book, which you've been on the podcast, I think you were on the podcast about 10 years ago, so it's yes. been a while. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Today we want to talk about this brand new book out that I was looking through. It is just great. It's your book, A Life in Vision, 1975 to 2009, Ronnie James Dio. These photos are just incredible, Frank.
Thank you.
And you have really, I don't know, what's the word, chronicled this guy's career from the early
from
days.
From each tour that he did from Rainbow all the way to his last show in Atlantic City with Heaven and Hell.
You were at that last show.
Yes, and actually the Beacon show in 1975 was his first American show with Rainbow.
Wow. So you, I mean, truly.
And also, I was in Vancouver, Canada when the tour started as Heaven and Hell instead of Black Sabbath.
Wow, okay.
Because Ozzy wasn't in the band, and since Ronnie was, they couldn't use the name Black Sabbath, so they ended up using Heaven and Hell from their first record in 1980 with Ronnie.
Right. So this book, going from that first time that he, one of the first, you said the first Rainbow show in the States?
Yeah, in the States.
In 1975.
And the very first show he did was in Canada, and then the following couple days later was the first show in America with Rainbow at the Beacon Theater.
Wow. So this goes from that show in 1975 all the way through his final show with Heaven and Hell in New Jersey in 2009.
At the Showboat.
And everything in between. Let's talk about, down in Atlantic City. Let's talk about everything in between. You got his, all the Dio eras in the book.
Right, yep. right, yep,
and,
definitely.
And what are some of, speaking just about the Dio era of Ronnie's career, what are some of your highlights of that era?
Well, of course, meeting him for the first time in 84 backstage at the Brendan Byrne Arena, which then became the Meadowlands and then the Izod Center.
Sure.
And after seeing him a number of times in Rainbow and Black Sabbath and then in Dio, it was just an honor to meet him. You know, I had, at that time, I was getting photo credentials from magazines, and you would sometimes get backstage passes because you're part of the press and you're part of covering his show, you know, for the magazine. So it's a good idea to go back there and maybe get some backstage stuff. And before I had a chance to do that, I had these two posters with me, and I brought them back there for them to check out and hopefully sign, and they did.
Yeah.
And they loved them, and Ronnie said, I got to take a photo with you. So I'm like, all right, great. So I had somebody in the hallway just take my camera, and they took a photo of us. And then I went inside and showed the photos to Vivian, and he ended up signing it and loved it as well. And
we
took a photo. Someone was in that room, and they took a photo of us holding the photos that are in the book.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was one of the first ones. And then, of course, when I got asked by one of my magazines to photograph him at Headbangers Ball on MTV Studios on 57th Street. It was in a smaller studio at the time, but it's where all some of the great bands out there at the time were making their way into that studio to do Headbangers Ball every week. And Ron Keel was there from Keel, and he was another friend of mine who I photographed for a few years before that day. And so it was like a double exciting day for me to shoot both of them.
Wow, that's cool.
And, you know, meeting the whole band backstage at Nassau Coliseum on New Year's Eve before the show when they played there with the opening bands were Sabotage and Megadeth.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like a last-minute thing. They go, hey, you know, the band wants you to come backstage and take some photos.
Oh, cool.
And we're like, wow, this is great. New Year's Eve.
Ronnie knew you. He trusted you.
Yeah,
he really trusted you.
He saw my name in the magazines, and he knew who to call out and say, hey, come here, you know, we'd like to get some photos with you. And then I was with them, you know, backstage at, like, Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York, when they got Rowan in the band and Teddy and Simon. And
Right.
And they were all really nice. Everybody that was in Ronnie's band over the years were all really nice to me. You know,
that's awesome.
And also they've seen my name in the magazines. So, you know, it kind of gave me a little cred, you know,
yeah,
to like, you know,
yeah. Cred,
hang out
the respect,
with them. And they,
yeah.
Hey, this guy's cool. He knows what he's doing. And,
right.
And they just said, fire away. And that's what I did.
Awesome. And it's all here in this book. Again, Ronnie James Dio, A Life in Vision, 1975 through 2009 by Frank White. Frank, where's the best place people can pick this book up?
Weimer Publishing.
Okay.
And
can they go on Amazon and get it? Or?
You know, I haven't checked Amazon yet because I've been so busy. I'm not sure if it's on there. But if you go to the publishing company's website, Weimer Publishing, they're in England, you can pick it up there.
Okay. Well, we will figure out where you can get it, and we'll have those links in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com and talkingrocks.net.
Yeah. And it just came out yesterday, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know all the information myself yet.
Right.
I'm just kind of like learning it as each day comes along.
It's, again, the book, A Life in Vision, Ronnie James Dio, and it's by Frank White. And one final question. I mean, 1975.
Right.
You look pretty good, Frank. I mean,
great. Thank you.
You must have been a kid in
1975. I was 13 years old.
Wow.
I was 12
okay.
and 13 years old photographing like Zeppelin and Alice Cooper,
right.
Robin Trower, Chicago. And when I turned 13 years old, Ronnie was playing at the Beacon Theater with Arjun opening up.
Wow.
And it was, you know, I liked Deep Purple and with Richie in the band, you know,
sure.
Being that it was his band at the time. And so Ronnie just put that show over the top for me, you know, with
right.
his voice and the way he performed that night. It was just like an incredible evening for me, photographing him for the first time.
And sorry, I know we're going to end it here. You got to get back to business.
That's right.
But at that time, when Ronnie and Blackmore formed
yeah,
Rainbow,
right.
was it, as a fan, you were into the music. I was a little young. I was still like 5 years old.
Right.
But were you happy? Because Deep Purple had kind of gone a little less hard rock, you know, going kind of funky.
Well,
And was it Blackmore kind of reclaiming, like, we're going to do a heavy metal. At that
yeah.
time, they called that stuff heavy metal. You know,
right.
we're going to do a loud heavy metal thing and get away from the kind of funk soul direction that Purple seemed to be steering with Stormbringer.
Right. It had like a little progressiveness in it, you know,
yeah.
and just like metal kind of combined together. A little that's kind of, for me, I was just amazed just being there, being able to photograph in the first
right.
place, because my parents didn't know at the time that I was even allowed to go into, they weren't like, they thought I was at somebody's home.
Right.
And I was in the city with my parents' camera.
Fib a little bit there, yeah.
You know, and they had no idea. So I was just kind of like a little nervous about being in the city all the time without, you know, them knowing about it. And then watching a show with this big, gigantic rainbow above them
right.
that was going off, and it was just yeah. a really cool
experience.
Did
you know Blackmore at all?
I listened to them, their records.
You didn't know him personally like you knew Ronnie?
I didn't know any of them at the time. That
right.
first year was when I was just going to shows as a fan,
right.
just photographing wherever I could and mostly up in the front, and I just liked Blackmore's, you know, playing on those albums
yeah.
before that. And so I was a fan of his, and he was like the main reason I was going because of Blackmore. But then, you know, I heard Ronnie's voice, and I was like, wow, this guy has an amazing, amazing voice.
Right.
And I'm like, I got to see him more often. But it just turned out that I ended up going to other shows, and the next time I saw him was a few years later
yeah.
in Black Sabbath.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll leave it there. Frank, great stories, great pictures. We'll have the book linked through today's show notes on the site. As always, thank you, and I'm sure I'll see you soon. We always see each other at shows.
Yes,
so,
we do.
Yeah, we'll see
All right,
you
man.
At the next show, I'm
Talk
sure.
Talk to you soon.
Frank White, recorded at the KISS Expo in New Jersey. Thank you, Frank. Thank you for your great new book. We love it. We love it. We love it. Go buy it. Go buy it, guys. It is great stuff. To round things out here, Robert Fleischman, the guy who wrote Wheel in the Sky by Journey. Can't beat this dude. He also wrote some great stuff with Vinnie Vincent, Gene Simmons, among many, many others. We're going to round things out here with my interview recorded at the KISS Expo with Robert Fleischman here on Talking Metal. And we'll end with Boys Are Gonna Rock, Vinnie Vincent Invasion, of course. All right. Checking out from the KISS Expo, this is Mark Striegel with Robert Fleischman. Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and we are here at the New Jersey KISS Expo with the one and only
Robert Fleischman. How are you?
Terrific, Mark.
And it's great to see you. We saw you last at the Atlanta Kiss Expo.
That's right.
And you really are a part of the Kiss family from your work with Vinny and also your work with Gene. Can you talk a little bit about the work you've done with Gene Simmons?
Well, that's funny. Gene, I met at Warner School in Brentwood. My son and Nick went to the same school.
Oh, okay.
So we were asked to participate in a Halloween show.
Right.
And so Gene played Frankenstein, and Shannon played the Bride of Frankenstein. And I did all the music for all the different rooms.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, that's how we kind of touched base. And then later on, he called me up and asked me if I was using this name for a band that I had with Tony Franklin and some other people.
Right.
And it was called Crown of Thorns. So he calls me up. He goes, are you still doing anything with the Crown of Thorns name? I go, no, it's just a project, but you can have it if you want it. And so I just discovered that right over there is Crown of Thorns. And this chap over here was in the band.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of funny.
Beauvoir,
And we wrote some songs together during the time of Circus?
Yeah, Psycho Circus.
Psycho Circus, yeah. And we wrote a couple of songs. It came to my house, and we did some demos. And then a couple of, just recently, he asked me if he could have permission to put the song on the vault.
Yeah.
So, so it's on the vault. And
and
I've known Gene for quite some time. And, he's always been very nice to me, and I've been nice to him.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And, of course, your history with Vinnie Vincent also makes you a part of the Kiss family.
Yeah.
You announced on Facebook recently that you are not going to be participating with his big comeback concert.
And, right.
Hey, folks.
So has there been any contact with him since your announcement?
Yeah, I've talked to him.
Yeah.
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 And our relationship's fine. It's just he's got to understand, and I think he does understand. But, if things change drastically, something could happen. But I'm not going to say. I don't know.
Okay.
It's all so up in the air.
Yeah, I hear
And,
you.
I just had a hard time with the people that represent him.
I got
they just seem to always fumble for him, and I feel bad for him, but it's these people like to find people that they can piggyback on and use their celebrity to advance their careers, and then he gets tied up in it, and then it always somehow starts sinking, and it's a shame.
Yeah,
but it's just the way things happen to work for him.
I hear you. And we are here again at the New Jersey Kiss Expo. Bobby Rock, who you did work with, is right next to you at the table.
Yeah,
the next table over from that is Lita Ford.
Yeah.
They both have books out about their history and their life. Would you ever consider releasing a book? I mean, from Journey to the Vinnie Vincent stuff. I mean, you have such a deep history and I'm sure lots of great stories. Is that something that would interest you?
Yeah, but I think there's other people that have such more interesting lives than me, that would eclipse my story. But I guess, I started accumulating photographs of me and because photographs always reminds me of the time period and memories. So it's kind of a way of refreshing your memory and getting stuff together. My wife tells her a story, and she goes, you should write that down. And so, I need to write these things down, yes.
Right.
But I would love to. I'd love to find somebody who I could work with that would help me do that, a really good guy.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's something, it's not my forte. Writing songs and all that stuff is my thing, but doing a book is a completely different animal.
Yeah, I hear you. And last question, you've written so many just epic, legendary songs with Journey and with Vinny and just many, many others. Where did you learn to write a song? Is it something you were born with, or is it something you worked at to get that skill?
It was just something that came naturally to me. I mean, I had a girlfriend. She had a acoustic guitar, like a Spanish nylon Flamingo string guitar. Yeah, yeah. And it was under her bed, and it had chords, you know, a Mel Bay book of chords.
Right.
And she let me take it home, and I started playing chords and learning chords. And I never learned how to play other people's songs. I always wanted to learn how, but I could never figure out. So I just, the chords I had,
right,
I would just write my own songs.
Yeah,
I start writing
go.
My own songs. So I wish I could have learned how to play guitar properly and like been able to be like in a garage band, you know, and played. But now, you know, after years and years, now I know how to play. But back then it was just, you know, I sang better than I played guitar. So I always, you know, got myself in a band where there was a guitar player.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing with that is that I was always complimenting the guitar player instead of the guitar player complimenting me. So I was always adjusting my voice and everything to them.
Yeah.
Instead of the other way around.
Right. Right.
So that's. But luckily, I had a really good. Vocal range, so I could do it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's always an honor talking with you, and we'll
you
let
too.
You get back to business here at the New Jersey right. Kiss Expo.
Always a pleasure,
and,
Mark.
Check in with us soon.
I will. There. Thank you for checking on me. Thank you.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.